There we go. I was going to say it doesn't do any good to cover any type of a subject while you're not taping it, because then somebody is going to miss it. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to comment just a little bit on the mainstay. Mainstay is so complete and so temperature resistant that it's good for any place you go, any time of year, for any period of time, up to 5 years. That's what it's guaranteed for. As with most guarantees, it's a very conservative guarantee, which means that it's probably good for quite a bit after that, but we don't recommend that you exceed that. Like anything else, you need to rotate it. But it's not just for throwing in the back of your car, and it's not just for taking a trip to a foreign country or hiking through the woods or something. Mainstay is something that in a real emergency, and I mean a real emergency, where you may not be able to get your hands on food for quite a long time, you can actually live on mainstay for a prolonged period of time before you really have to begin to supplement it with anything else. Where we live, that's no problem at all, because, I mean, just around the house here, probably live at least 100 rabbits, probably more, and nobody could ever go hungry in this part of the country. I don't know where you live. If you live in New York City, you're not only going to go hungry, but somebody's liable to eat you in a real emergency where you couldn't get any food. And I'd hate to be in that position, because I don't think New Yorkers would be would taste all that good, to tell you the truth. From my experience in New York, they're pretty tough. And at least they seem that way. When you get to know them, they're just like everybody else. But just in the everyday walking around New York City, everybody seems to have this attitude. So, are you back?
Mm-hmm.
You did it, huh? Okay.
Got my hug. I'm happy.
I tried to fill in for you.
You did an excellent job.
Well, thank you, Dora. That's very nice. I'm actually not trying to do anything, because this is your night, and I didn't prepare to do anything. So, here's Doyle once again. You want to... You want to do the thing now?
Yeah.
Okay. Folks. Folks, for those of you who live in the Round Valley of Arizona, we're going to take 101.1 FM off the air now while we do our commercials. And shortly after that, we'll put it back on the air, and you'll be able to be with us again for the rest of the broadcast. So, if you'll tune back in from time to time over the next about 20 minutes, we will have 101.1 FM Eager back on the air just as soon as possible. Okay, Doyle. Okay.
All righty, got it. Oh,
yeah, I got it.
Cool. Thank you. Okay. At this time, I'd like to cover the products which we've selected to sell for the hour of the time. We'd like to stress that we've hand-selected these products through experience, economics, ease of use, and practicality for everybody, okay? These aren't rip-off scams. These aren't jokes and voice changers and whatnot. These are just regular old stuff that everybody can use. I want to start out with the products, or actually the items, which are from that Bill has done himself, okay? Let's start off with the book. He is the author of Behold a Pale Horse. It's 500 pages over. Well documented. Good information. It's an excellent book. It's been an underground bestseller as far as sold in major outlets and widespread sales without any big pushing by the big, you know, media. I.e. ABC, Barnes & Noble, there's been no advertising campaigns, it's all been word of mouth, excuse me, and it's an excellent book. I highly suggest it, not just because I'm here. I read it well before I ever knew Bill, I talked to him,
It's a good book, and you're going to learn a lot. I would suggest you get it if you have not already read it. It's $30. Post is paid. You can send your orders to Hour of the Time, care of 101.1 FM, P.O. Box 940, Eager, E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. Okay? We accept cash, blank money orders, gold or silver coin. Don't send a check. We're not going to take it. If you send a money order that is filled out, it's going to be rejected, okay? Cash, blank money orders, gold or silver coins. Real simple. And call so we can barter the best possible value of gold and silver, if that's what you wish to use. Call us, and we'll figure out the best value for both parties right on the phone, because we don't want to rip nobody off, and we don't want to be ripped off, okay? The next thing is his audiobook. This is 3 hours long, 2 audio cassettes, recorded this year. It's got 10 minutes of brand new information. It's recorded by Alternative Audio. The price of the book is audiobook. I'm going to stress that audiobook. I made a mistake there. $19.95. Post is paid by mail. That's priority mail. They're shipped. We package them in a good, sturdy package, you know, bubble wrap protected. We always try to ship within 24 hours normally of receipt of the order. I can't guarantee that always, but we try to always do it within 24 hours of receipt of the order. And this is an excellent book. What's nice about audiobooks is if you're too busy to read, you say, or you've got too many disturbances in the household, whatever might be the situation, you can listen to it, relax to it, and if you've got a long drive, like a lot of people commute to work, it's really good. My old occupation, I used to drive 35 minutes to work, so I could have wiped this out in a week. It would have been, you know, it would have been an excellent thing to listen to when I was going to work. If I would have owned this back then, I used to listen to a lot of audiobooks because there was just nothing really very good on the radio. So I listened to audiobooks. I listened to a lot of the classics, and it's nice. It passes the time of driving. You learn something. You don't just sit there and listen to the blabber and foolishness of some morning so-called comedian talk show host. And I would suggest you order this if you can't see yourself investing the time and the patience to read the regular printed book, okay? The audiobook is $19.95 postpaid. Next, let's talk about Veritas. Veritas is an international newspaper. It's a full-size, regular printed newspaper. We're not talking a newsletter or some, you know, thing that was copied in the back room on a machine. This is a regular newspaper. Okay, it addresses issues that affect your freedom. It fully documents the sources for readers, so you can confirm them, which we always suggest you do. Always confirm everything you hear. Don't accept anything at face value. Don't take it as the gospel. Confirm it. And this is probably, as far as I know, the only or one of the few newspapers that's hand-delivered to your representatives in Washington and media bureaus and whatnot. It's hand delivered to them every single issue. Okay? Presents the facts. You make your own decisions. We want to challenge everybody to think for themselves. Okay? This is $55 for a 12 issue subscription. $55 for a 12 issue subscription. Okay? To subscribe to Veritas, excellent newspaper. Right to Veritas itself, V-E-R-I-T-A-S, Veritas, care of P.O. Box 1450, Eager, Arizona, 85925. I'll repeat that, Veritas, spelled V-E-R-I-T-A-S, care of P.O. Box 1450, 1450, Eager, E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. 12-issue subscription of $55. Okay, the next thing I'd like to cover is the book Oklahoma City Day One. It's a detailed account of the bombing of the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, from April 19th, 1995. The foreword's by William Cooper. It's an excellent book. This book... Bill yelled at me. I just heard him. No. It's written by Michelle Marie Moore. Sorry, Bill. It's written by Michelle Marie Moore. It's a foreword by William Cooper. And it covers extensively the events of the bombing of the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building. Okay? This is an excellent book. If you really want to know what happened, this is the book that will tell you. It's not covered with government lies and militias did it or this and that did it or the Iranians did it or whatever. This is factual information. The cost of this book is $16 postage paid. Okay? $16 for the paperback, postage paid. Okay? And there again, you can write to Hour of the Time, care 101.1 FM, P.O. Box 940, Eager, EAGAR, Arizona, 85925. That's Oklahoma City Day One. Now I'd like to get into a couple of videos, two or three of them. The first one I'd like to cover is the Branch Davidians, the Last Will and Testament. This is a video which is made by the Branch Davidians themselves, inside their home, not compound, their home, during the actual siege. And you will see in this video how the people actually felt about the siege. Were they forced to stay there? No. You'll see them with their children, real people, real living entities, right there on film, telling their side of the story, which most people don't even know this tape even exists. Okay? This is a heart-rending tape. I'll tell you that right now. It's sad, because this really puts a face on what the government tried to just turn into entities that they destroyed. And that's what they did. Okay? And most of the people in this tape never knew that this was going to be it. This is the last will and testament for them. Everybody in this tape is dead now. Okay? This tape is $3 postpaid. $30 postpaid for the Branch Davidians Last Will and Testament. If you want to see what was going on for real inside their home during the siege, this tape will give it to you. Okay, next I'd like to cover the Zapruder film. The Zapruder film is on November 22nd, I will just read the description to you. It does it better than I could ever do. December 22nd, 1963, Abraham Zapruder stood on a concrete abutment near the famous Grassy Knoll, as it's called in Dallas, Texas, and came to film the President's motorcade. Instead, he filmed the assassination of President John Fitzgerald Kennedy. Zapruder rushed the film to a lab where it was developed. The local TV station aired what became known as the Zapruder film the same night. Shortly after, the film was confiscated and transported to the National Photographic Laboratory in Washington, D.C., and the film was eventually returned to Zapruder, who promptly auctioned it off to the highest bidder, Time Life Incorporated. It was never made available to the public. Well, now it is. You can get this film. In 1992, William Cooper acquired a first-generation copy on 35mm color positive film. It was converted to videotape. This tape is $40. And post is paid.
I just want to make a couple of comments when you're finished.
Oh, sure.
Are you finished?
Yeah, go ahead.
There's been a lot of hoopla lately, ladies and gentlemen, about a version of the Zapruder tape that has just been released that they say no one has ever seen before. I'm here to tell you that's a lie. We've made this tape available since 1992. It is the original uncut Zapruder film with every single frame absolutely intact. And we did more than that. I mean, this film is actually about an hour and a half long, because we show the Zapruder film from beginning to end at regular speed, and then we show it at one-half speed, and then at one-quarter speed, and then at one-tenth speed, and then we show it frame stopped, frame by frame, every single frame, all the way through the film, twice, ladies and gentlemen, so that you can examine every single bit of the Zapruder film. There is nothing cut out. Like you see on TV, the entire frames of the film are not there. You can't see everything. In this film, every single frame is in the picture, and you can see every single bit of it. At the end of all of this that we did for you, and this has been available since 1992, we filmed Dealey Plaza and everything in and around Dealey Plaza so that you can see it for yourself. Dealey Plaza, ladies and gentlemen, has tremendous occult significance in the mystery schools to the Illuminati, the adepts of the occult theosophical elite. It is, in fact, an outdoor temple of the sun. President Kennedy was sacrificed at local apparent noon in Dallas, Texas, in a temple of the sun. Now, if you don't believe that, you get this film and you take a good look at it. There is no narration whatsoever because we were accused, originally we did release the film with narration, we were accused of telling people what to see. So, there's no narration here. And there's not going to be any narration here, so that nobody can ever accuse us of that again. You will see in the film, if you are observant, that it has been tampered with extensively. Either Abraham Zapruder did it, or the lab where he had it developed in Dallas did it, or the FBI did it, because they had it for a while, or it was done at the National Photographic Laboratory in Washington, D.C., where the film was studied and held by the United States government for a period of time. It's also a possibility that the people that Abraham Zapruder sold the film to could have also tampered with it. So the fact that the film has been doctored, and we didn't doctor it, I'm telling you, every version of this film, no matter where you get it, has been doctored extensively. And that proves, beyond any shadow of a doubt, a conspiracy. Because if these people weren't involved in a conspiracy, why would they have doctored the film? If you're interested in the Kennedy assassination, you need to get this film from us. Now, you can get it anywhere else you want to, and you can compare all the different versions that are out there, and I strongly urge you to do that. But if you really want something that you can really perform accurate research with, and that you can see every bit of every frame and everything that happened, and there's absolutely nothing missing from beginning to end, and have all the Dealey Plaza footage, which you can't find anywhere else. Nobody else has any Dealey Plaza footage, and nobody's ever shown you what we show you in this film, then you need to get this film. You have no idea what a tremendous research tool this really is. It's not faded out. It's not black and white. It is brilliant, beautiful color copy. It is the best that you can. In fact, it's better than you will find anywhere else. We purchased through the intelligence community an original first generation 35 millimeter film copy of the 8 millimeter Zapruder film. We took that and transferred it to 1-inch videotape. We transferred it to 3/4-inch videotape, half-inch videotape, to Super VHS videotape, and we also put it on D2 Digital. So, and all of these, including the original 35 millimeter film, have been put in a safe place so that nobody can come and steal them, or if anything happens to us, they're not going to get their hands on them, and they will remain in the possession of real Americans in this country. And, sorry, Doyle.
All right.
Back to Doyle.
Go ahead.
No, I'm done.
Oh, Jesus.
Just wanted to explain all that. I know you didn't know all that.
All right, cool. Thanks. Okay, the next video I'd like to talk about is the Luster video.
Also, Doyle, there's no narration on that.
Okay.
In fact, that is take number 33 of the Mystery Babylon series.
Okay. For those of you who may not have heard that, the Luster is also no narration. You decide for yourself what's in there. No narration. And it's tape 33 of the Mystery Babylon series. Tape 33 of the Mystery Babylon series, which was produced by William Cooper. The Luster is the video of the hotel, I guess it is, the big old giant hotel in Las Vegas. It's basically a modern temple where millions of people receive illumination from the ancient Egyptian mystery religion without ever even knowing it. Okay? This tape is excellent if you want to see the symbology and of the mystery school and how they work. How they push this stuff down people's throats without them even knowing it. That's why it's unnarrated. See for yourself. I don't know how to describe it, but it's a chilling video. I don't know what else to say. It was taped shortly after the Luster's opening in '93, and it was brand new back then. The Luster. This is a must-see video if you want to study the mystery schools. It's $35, post is paid. And once you see this, I think it's really going to open your eyes. This is your realm of research, new realm of research, old realm of research. It's a good book, or good video, excuse me. Okay. Next, I'd like to cover a few of the other things we have. The shortwave antenna kit. An excellent kit. We compared it to many other retailers of shortwave long wire antenna kits. We say long wire because that is the base form of it. It can be just a straight wire, a dipole. It's still a long wire antenna, which means one long strand of receiving wire for your signal. Okay. This kit is much lower than competitively constructed kits. We've seen these kits for anywhere in the $30 to $45 range, plus shipping. Ours is $24.95, post is paid, priority mail. Okay, when we don't send it in the basket that gets drugged behind the car, it gets sent priority mail. It's an excellent kit. 75 foot, pure copper, uninsulated receiving wire, 50 foot insulated lead-in wire, end insulators to suspend the receiving wire antenna, two true ceramic, real old-time ceramic-type glass insulators for your lead-in wire. It's got a pass-through wire to run through walls, windows, whatever. It comes with full instructions on how to set it up in a long wire, straight wire, I'll say, fashion, or a dipole. And it also comes with the formulas to tweak it for maybe the meter band or the absolute frequency that you want to really listen to. It's a simple mathematical formula. It's even got an example, so you can see the mathematical formula, you can see an example, you can work right through it if you want to trim it. But I would suggest listening to it in its entirety first when you erect it, if you have the ability to put it up and take it down without a whole lot of difficulties, and just see if it works. It's going to improve any signal, guaranteed, because it's the dipole antenna arrangement specifically is the best arrangement for receiving antenna you can get. If the true untrimmed length, the 75 foot of receiving wire as it's delivered, works good, leave it at that. Because remember, once you start cutting it down, you start eliminating the higher meter bands, the 120s and whatnot, your lower numbers. Your higher meters, your lower numbers, your 2s, your 3s, your 5s, there's a lot of stuff on 5s. You don't want to wipe out all the listening. There's a lot of stuff out there on shortwave, okay? Next, I'd like to cover a few of the other products. We have the MainStay Food Bar, which we talked about extensively tonight. Compare it to other foods. It's not just because we're selling it, because we want to We want you people that are listening in the audience to get the most bang for the buck. Okay? We want you to get a good product. Okay? Don't get sold on this super survival food and the MREs are the ultimate just because the Army uses it. Or the military, I should say. Just because the military uses it does not mean it's good. We speak with experience here. Essentially, military stuff, the contracts are won by the lowest bidder. And I'll leave it at that. Okay. The mainstay emergency food rations, each pack is 3,600 calories. It's divided into 9 cubes, a cube per meal, 3 cubes per day, hence 3 meals a day for 3 days for one person. It is 10 packets for a case. A case is $43.50 plus postage. Call for details, 520-333-4578. You can call 1 to 5 Mountain Standard Time. Okay, 1 to 5 Mountain Standard Time. That way we can deal with you, because one thing everybody's got to realize is that we have to put a lot into preparing for a 3-hour show. Plus, we have to fill orders. Plus, we have a life and we have a family to take care of. So don't call at midnight wanting to order this stuff. Don't call to talk at midnight. Call from 1 to 5 Mountain Time, please. Okay? 520-333-4578. The next item is the mainstay water packets. Each packet is 4.225 ounces. It's in a metallized bag. It's got many advantages over bottled water. Its size, its weight, it's easier to transport. It doesn't allow for the packaging itself is made not to degrade in sunlight or allow sunlight to pass through into your water. It keeps the water, it's sealed in a sterile environment. The water is sterilized before it's sealed. This is some good stuff. And one thing I didn't mention last night was I told you how it's in a metallized foil. I don't know how to describe it, but it's like a flexible metal bag, like a juice drink in a store, generally targeted towards children. What's neat about this stuff is besides having a 5-year shelf life versus just, you know, a few months, 6 months to a year for bottled water or whatnot, and besides being better, easier to transport, it's purified and sterilized and still in an airtight pouch. A lot of your bottled water is straight out of a tap. You can go there. Factories are getting in trouble quite often, especially where I'm from in California. Bottled water is quite popular, and where I live in the Central Valley, a lot of so-called natural spring water was from an underground spring, which essentially meant they had a well right next to the farm that was spraying who knows what on the ground and putting it in a bottle, so it was natural spring water because it came from some underground spring. Okay. Another thing about this thing is it's got the extreme temperature ranges of the food, -40 to 230 degrees, without any problems. Propagation of germs, package destruction, anything like that. And what's nice about it is, I didn't mention this last night, is the it can be used as a cold compress because it is small. It is formable. You can freeze this stuff if you have a freezer. Keep one in the freezer and you've always got a cold pack on hand, and you thaw it out and you've got drinking water. One other thing I'd like to say about it also, I've never seen this mentioned anywhere. If someone's seen it, correct me, but it's a neat form of blue ice, I'll call it. Those frozen plastic things you put in your ice chest when you go camping or traveling, and you freeze them and they keep everything cold. Difference is, you can freeze this, keep your everything in your ice chest cool, and if you need it, you can pop it open and drink it. You can't be popping open no chemical cold pack. That'll make you a little sick. Let me do the station identification now. This is WBCQ, Monticello, Maine, USA, the planet. All right. Okay, the next thing I'd like to cover is the Wallace Guidebook. I've had some inquiries about this on the phone just today and yesterday and whatnot, and prior inquiries about it. This is an excellent book. It's called the Wallace Guidebook for Emergency Care and Survival. Just ask for the Wallace Guidebook. Real simple. It's written by the founder of probably the largest survival, as far as manufacturing companies there is, as far as making stuff aimed at the survival, preparedness, emergency type sector of either jobs, line of work, or that segment of society, which is preparing for whatever might be, either bad economic or man-made disasters or natural disasters. This is an excellent book. It will cover, not will, it does cover everything from minor scratches to childbirth. It's an excellent book. We're offering this book for $5.49 plus postage. The postage is low on this book. It's an excellent book, $5.49 plus postage. I personally have seen this book at gun shows for $15. $5.49 plus postage, the Wallace Guide book. The next item is the first aid and travel kit. The first aid and travel kit is essentially a first aid kit meant to be taken with you wherever you might go, traveling, hiking, picnicking, wherever it might be. And just throw one in your medicine chest of your house or in the cabinet in your bathroom. It's good to have around, especially if you got kids. They seem to get dinged up quite a bit, little owies and stuff, and they love Band-Aids. So this kit has a comes composed of a soft carrying case, instant cold pack, adhesive bandages, alcohol wipes, antiseptic wipes, sterilized water packet, antibiotic ointment, tissue pack, gauze pad, and a pair of disposable gloves. Now, when you compare this kit, I went to incident commander school and HAZWOPA, which is Hazardous Waste Operations School. I am certified by OSHA, and I'm saying that to brag. I'm saying I used to have to do this at my old job. If you buy a kit that's comparable to this for your emergency responders, and you buy it in some major name brand guys, and it won't be any difference at all. It's all the same suppliers as the internal components. It's going to run you $15 to $20. Generally, emergency responders, like I used to be, where we dressed up like Moon Men and wear face masks and all that, like in a movie Outbreak. You carry one on your belt, and it's for when you fall and do whatever. These will run you $15 to $20. Our first aid and travel kit is $7.95. $7.95 plus postage. Again, call for details about the postage. $7.95, the first aid and travel kit. The next kit I'd like to cover is called the Traveler. This one's meant more to be taken out, be on the go, has more components to it. It's kind of an all-around kit for people that are going to be out and about and want to drag this thing, you know, around with them and throw it around and, you know, mistreat it a little bit. You know, don't ever mistreat something intentionally, but, you know, it's not like some little cardboard box or a flimsy brown paper bag it's packaged in. It's packaged in a nice, water-resistant nylon bag with a carrying strap, zip closes, padded. This kit has duct tape, emergency blanket, the Wallace guidebook, so you know how to use the components. You know what to do in an emergency as far as CPR, fractures, whatever, if you don't already know. And you may need a refresher. Flashlight with batteries, food rations, tissue packs, utility bags, water rations, bandages, tape, alcohol wipes, aspirin, razor blades, you know, you need to cut stuff, whatever, towelettes, gauze rolls, gauze pads. This kit has over 50 items. It's intended for one person to essentially live out of for 3 days. That's why they give you, like, the flashlight and stuff, because during 3 days, you're going to have at least two nights, possibly three, at least two nights during 3 days. So you need a light source. You can work and move around. You need water. You need food, you may need medical supplies, it's a nice kit. The Traveler, one person for 3 days for $37.95, it's a really nice kit. Like I told you the first night, I have seen this kit for a comparable price, but generally much higher. But one thing about some of these other kits that I've seen is they don't include a flashlight, or if they give you one, they give you no batteries. They don't give you any water. They don't give you any duct tape. Duct tape is like the miracle tool. You can do all sorts of stuff with it. In fact, if you go to any emergency responder school or whatnot, or any that I've ever seen or been to, you have to make splints and other things and neck braces with duct tape because it seems like duct tape is everywhere, so teach you how to use it. A lot of these kits don't have this stuff. Our kit is complete. Person for 3 days, $37.95, the Traveler. The last two items is the ARC 3 and the Super ARC. The Ark 3 is just a bare bones essentials kit, food, water, blanket. Packaged in a nice, sturdy box. Shrink wrap, water resistant shrink wrapping. It's not meant to be left out in the rain, although I did it. I don't know why I did it, besides it just forgetting it in the back of my truck. And besides having a warped box, nothing inside was damaged because how all the components are packaged. They're packaged just like I told you earlier. The metalized bag, temperature extremes, waterproof, lightproof, all that stuff. Nice stuff. Comes with emergency blanket, food, and water. Our price is $13.37 plus postage. It's a nice kit. It weighs about 3 pounds. So if right now you're just dying to wonder what the postage is going to be like, it weighs around 3 pounds. If you have to know exactly what postage is for 3 pounds to where you live, that's what it weighs. It's a very lightweight kit. They're quite popular for gifts and awards, corporations, schools. Like I was telling you last night, possibly the night before, these kits were given out as in safety incentive awards for the company I worked at. They were just repackaged with a different name because I helped purchase them. And unfortunately, they wouldn't go with the name brand to save a few cents, but they got what they paid for because it came essentially in a lunch bag. Okay, it's a nice quality kit, $13.37 for the Ark 3. And even with, at my old employment, even with the mass buying we were doing, I'm talking over 200 units at one time, we paid more than this. We paid about $32, if I remember correctly. It was in the 30s, lower 30s. Our kit, $13.37. The last item is the Super Ark. This is like the deluxe kit. Very nice item. Weighs 5 pounds. Carries the U.S. and Canadian Coast Guard approval for temperature extremes, storage, and deployment. It contains food, water, a light stick, hand warmer, first aid kit, blanket, as in space blanket. Don't think you're going to get a nice German wool blanket or something in it. Nothing that big. It's a space blanket, which is perfect for compactness, for retaining body heat, using as a rain shelter, a reflective device to gain attention in an emergency. Whatever you need to do, it comes with safety matches, a candle. Candles can be used to then start fires once it's lit for warmth in a confined space like the cab of a car, used for light. It's a nice kit. Again, quite popular for gifts. And actually given out to school children in certain states. It was given out to schools in California, where they seem to have a high frequency of problems, like earthquake, fire areas, things like that. The Super Ark is $19.95 plus postage. Again, it weighs 5 pounds. So just to give you an idea, when I'm selling you a load of bricks, postage isn't going to kill you. It's $19.95. Plus postage, call for details. You can call 1 to 5 Mountain Time, 520-333-4578 for full details, and I will get you the information on postage rates and work out your order with you for the lowest possible rate and the quickest amount of time as possible. If you want to write for information on the show or the various products, the comment, whatever, it's Hour of the Time, care of 101.1 FM, P.O. Box 940, Eager, EAGAR, Arizona, 85925. Okay? I think that, let me see, it's 809, there's about 50 minutes left. I think now would be a good time to open up the lines for any call-ins. If you would like to call in, the number is 520-333-4578. And feel free to do so. The line is open right now. And you can inquire, comment, do whatever, correct, you'd like to do.
Or whatever you don't like to do.
Yeah, whatever you don't like to do.
And we're both here. That was great, Doyle. You did a wonderful job. Let's
thank you. Oh, kick on 101.
Yeah, let's kick on 101. 101.1.
I'll get the amp.
Let's kick her back on, okay. Yeah. All right, 101.1 is back on the air, and we'll get our first call. Good evening, you're on the air.
Well, hello there. It's good to hear you back on the air. This is Cooper.
Who am I talking to?
This Capital.
Captain Audio. That's interesting. Well, I'm glad that you're glad that we're back on the air.
Yes, indeed. And I did want to call in and tell Doyle that the strangely pronounced grain is properly pronounced quinoa.
Quinoa.
Thank you.
Quinoa. Yeah. Doyle says thank you.
Very good. Thanks. Keep up the good work.
He's in the reloading room. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for calling.
Bye now.
Captain Audio, that sounds interesting. I wish I had thought to ask him where he got that name and maybe what it alludes to or means or who gave it to him, how he got that name.
Well,
Captain Audio. That reminds me of the Fleisch Gordon knives we have. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. I want to say how good it is to hear Bill Cooper again. Let me just turn my radio off.
I haven't even been here. It's been Doyle for the last.
Well, I haven't heard you for the longest time. I mean, I heard you when you were on our WCCR at coming out at midnight. I first got a shortwave radio.
Yeah.
This is I don't know, maybe 2 years ago, and it's really good to hear you again.
Well, thank you.
I like to ask your opinion on another shortwave show, Jackie Petru. Gives out a lot of information, you know, talking about, you know, exposing what she calls phony Christian conservative groups. And I
really, she makes this big deal about morals and all that kind of stuff.
Well, I talked to her on the air and off the air, and I confronted her with being exactly what she uses symbol of the phony Christian conservative group. She's as much as I can discern, a new ager, you know, believes in reincarnation and just all sorts of things. And I told her that I would have no problem with you if you did exactly what you did, but you told people exactly where you stand. And when I say that, I mean, when she calls people phony Christian conservatives, she's giving the implication that she is a Christian. And to me, you know, I guess I'm but to me, if you're a Christian, you believe that Jesus Christ is God, and she does not. I said, if you just do your show and just let people know that you have a different conception of Jesus Christ, I wouldn't have a problem, and I would just like to know what you think of that.
You know, I really don't want to get into this. I helped Jackie Petru get on the air. I told her what to do and how to get the equipment, and I put her on the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network, and she professed to be a real American who believed in freedom and property rights and all that kind of stuff. And she turned out to be a collectivist. She ganged up with a whole bunch of other people and effectively put the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network right out of business. She would tell other people not to purchase airtime because we had a rule that you had to be able to prove what you say. And she thought that was tyrannical. And all kinds of stuff. And then she would get on and pontificate about morality and morals and all this kind of stuff. And all the while, she was living out of wedlock with a man. So, you know, I really don't want to comment about it. I don't like her. I don't want to comment on her, to tell you the truth. Apparently, you've seen right through her baloney.
Yeah, I've heard her for maybe 45 days, and the thing she says, it's just all new age teaching and stuff like that, and basically she's trying to give out, to me anyway, in the short time I've heard
I don't care if somebody gives new age teaching, as long as they're telling the truth and everybody knows who they are and where they stand, and they're not being a hypocrite or lying to people or pretending to be something that they're not. I believe in freedom of speech. I believe in everybody being able to get on the airwaves and saying whatever the hell they want to, but I do not believe in deception.
Well, that's my problem. I believe that she misrepresents herself. Well,
I can tell you absolutely for a fact that she does.
Yeah, that is my perception of the very short period of time hearing her off and on for 45 days.
Yeah.
But I'll let you get up to the call. I just want to tell you, Phil.
But I am going to tell you, she has a right to be on radio and say whatever she wants.
I don't disagree with that. When I talked to her, I just asked that she tell people exactly where she is rather than letting them assume certain things.
Well, that's what I wish that everybody would do. Like, for instance, nobody in the world has any problem understanding where I stand on any issue. And if they do, all they have to do is call me, and I'll tell them, and I'm very blunt about it. And so nobody has to guess who I am or what I stand for or what I believe or anything else. I mean, it's just right out there up front. And if they come and meet me in person or they follow me around sneaky behind trees and stuff, they're not going to see anything any different.
And, Bill, that is exactly why I have missed you so badly, why you haven't been available in short wave. I want to thank you for everything you have done and that you continue to do, and I'll rush you on for another call.
Well, thank you. Time to turn over the tape anyway. Thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
You know, I wish people wouldn't do that. And the truth is, I get a big problem with Jackie Patru because of what she did with the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network. pretending to be a real American and then ganging up with collectivism in order to damage the network was beneath contempt in my estimation. It was owned and operated by me. I made the rules, and she didn't like the rules, so she did everything she could to destroy it, and that's exactly what she did. Good evening. You're on the air.
Oh, hi, Mr. Cooper.
Hi.
I thought Doyle did a real good job tonight.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. Doyle, come over here. He's talking to you.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, you did real good.
Thank you.
And kind of cut back on those cigarettes, okay?
Okay.
Well, by the way, Mr. Cooper, I think our prayers should be with Mr. Art Bell this evening. I heard he's in terrible agony over the return of the Hour of the Time to...
I bet he is.
You know, one night he had Elizabeth Clare Prophet on his program.
Uh-huh.
And she read several Hindu mantras.
Yeah.
And the thought occurred to me that it's permissible to read Hindu mantras on the Art Bell program, but God forbid that you read any scripture on the Art Bell program.
Well,
we won't permit that.
Sure. No. You're right.
So that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
So you have a great show.
Well, thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. Which reminds me, I want to give you all a problem here. Is that okay? I want to give you a problem. What's wrong with this picture? You got a guy that comes home. You're on the air, but please hold for just a second.
Hey, okay.
You come home from work, and it's 9 o'clock, and you walk in and you put on a pot of coffee, and you pour the water in the Mr. Coffee Maker, and the coffee starts making, and you go to your icebox and get out a can of cat food, and you go outside and you feed your cat, and it takes 5 or 10 minutes, and you come back in and you find out a whole hour and a half has gone by. And you check all your clocks in your house, and every clock is an hour and a half later. But to you, only about 5 or 10 minutes has gone by, but yet the coffee's not made. What's wrong with this picture? Anybody know? And there's another one, too. Another guy comes home, and he walks into the house, and it's 9:30, and... He puts on a pot of tea and boils it and pours himself a hot cup of tea and sets it on the table, goes outside to feed the animals, comes back in 10 minutes. The tea is still hot, but every clock in the house registers an hour and a half later. To him, only 10 minutes has gone by. What's wrong with this picture? So while you're all thinking about that, let's go to the caller. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill.
Hi.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
A couple of days ago, you were talking about the Constitution and that. That was great. What I understood, if you heard...
No, I was talking about the Declaration of Independence.
Right, Declaration.
And that was last night.
Okay, last night. I just time goes by fast.
Okay.
The question is, what about the Treaty of Peace? Does that still make us liable and somehow bonded?
No, you are not English citizens. You are not British citizens. You are not subjects of the Crown.
Well, I'm not quite sure that. It's just that...
I am. I'm absolutely certain of it. You are not.
Therefore, somehow in a convoluted way connected to British citizenship.
No, negative. Not at all.
Okay, well, is there any connection that makes us liable to the British aristocrats.
No.
From that previous.
No. The treaty makes the United States government liable to pay a certain percentage of all the gold and silver mined in this country. All you do is read the treaty. It doesn't say that anybody born here are British citizens.
Oh, okay.
They lost that war.
Yeah, I know.
In case nobody knows it, they lost that war.
I know, yeah. But we begin to wonder sometimes. Hey, now, was it true that...
Are you listening in England? You lost that war. Mm-hmm. You lost it. These are not your colonies. I am not your subject. Never will be. If you want to come over here and try to make me a subject, that goes for anybody in the world. You want to make me a subject, I got guns, and I'll use them.
Did Ronald Reagan and George Bush get knighted over there?
I don't know.
Okay, I thought maybe you knew that. All right, one more question. Your video on the JFK, are you still holding that possibly the driver did turn and shoot?
I've never held that the driver turned and shoot and shot.
Okay.
I have always said this, and you can look at any tape I've ever done, any videotape I've ever done, all the way back to 1989 when I first started talking about it, or at 1988 actually. You can listen to any audio tape that was ever made at any lecture where I ever discussed the subject whatsoever. I said I saw a document while in the United States Navy that said you could see the driver in the Zapruder tape turn around and shoot the president in the head. The driver was William Greer.
Right.
That's what I said. I showed a videotape that appeared to show that was not made by me, in which the person who made the film, Lars Hansen, said the same thing.
Because there's a guy in California that he says pretty much the same thing, Jameson. I don't know if you know him.
I don't know anything about it.
All right. But the question is, okay, I understand what you're saying, but you want to say what your personal thoughts are on that?
My personal thoughts are, I don't know who actually pulled the trigger. If you watch the Zapruder film, it looks like the driver turns around and shoots Kennedy in the head.
I agree with you.
It looks like it. If you examine the Zapruder film under magnification and with the best scientific principles that you can muster, like we have done, the Zapruder film has been tampered with so much that what you're seeing in that film may have been engineered for you to see something that's not happening, or to make you look at something as if it's happening, covering up something else that may be happening.
Right. I've called
But it absolutely proves conspiracy, without a doubt.
I agree. Now, the difference between everybody else's film and your film is that your film got absolutely every film that should be in there.
Every frame, and from every border of every frame, top, bottom, and side to side.
Okay.
And not only that, if you get it anywhere else, all you see is the film at regular speed.
Right, right. Yeah, I understand that.
But we give it to you at regular speed, half speed, quarter speed, tenth speed, and then frame by frame, not just once, but twice, and we pause on each frame for a long period of time. That's why it's so long. This film is actually really short.
Very good. Now,
plus, we give you everything in Dealey Closet that you never even knew was there.
Right. Hey, there is a novelist. Right, a small one. You know that, right?
A what?
An arbalest.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, okay.
I was the one that told the world. Everybody was going to Dealey Plaza to see where Kennedy was assassinated. They're walking around, and this obelisk is right in the middle of them, and nobody even pays any attention to it.
You're right.
There's a reflecting pool also, and a reflection of the obelisk and the eternal flame on the top, which they also planted on Kennedy's grave, points directly to the sixth floor window. And also, the sixth floor window is the only square window in the entire building, which has tremendous Masonic significance.
And also the oak tree. There's an old Masonic lore about there's somebody.
No. It's no. It's the It's the Elm Street. You see, in the early days of this country, you know how you delivered a message? You tacked it to the elm. Kennedy was assassinated in the Temple of the Sun to deliver a message to somebody, and I think the whole world got the message.
Yeah, we did.
Don't mess with us, was the message.
All right, now your film still has gone through some process by the FBI or whatever agency.
No, this is This is a first-generation copy of the original Zapruder film. My film was not tampered with. The original Zapruder film was.
Yours is the original before it even got to any of the agencies.
No. You're not listening.
Okay.
The Zapruder film was taken from Abraham Zapruder by the Federal Bureau of Investigation after he had it developed in Dallas. Then it was delivered to the National Photographic Laboratory in Washington, D.C.
Right.
Then it was returned to Abraham Zapruder.
Right.
Then Abraham Zapruder sold it to the highest bidder. I have a copy of that film.
Okay, now.
A first-generation copy right off of the first-generation film that was returned to Abraham Zapruder.
Now, is there any possibility that was tampered with?
That what was tampered with?
The original returned to Zapruder.
Absolutely. That's what I've been telling you all night.
Okay, I want to make sense. Bill, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Oh, bye.
Sorry you were confused on that. Thank you for calling. 520-333-4578. Absolutely it was tampered with. Anybody who has any knowledge of photography whatsoever examines that film is going to find it's been extensively doctored. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill Cooper. It's Vince in Chicago.
Hi, Vince. How are you?
All right, I got a question. I've been hearing a lot of stuff about this company called Iridium World Communications. Have you ever heard of that?
Doesn't ring any bell.
Well, it's this very ambitious new satellite communications project. It's supposed to be starting very soon.
Oh, you're talking about communications from your phone to the satellite? You can talk to anybody around the world?
Yes.
Yeah, I know all about that. Yeah. What about it?
When I first saw this company, I noticed that they're advertising their system specifications as 66 satellites that they're launching plus 6 spare satellites.
Yeah.
And you get the number 666.
Yeah.
And I've been hearing that Iridium, one of their largest shareholders in the company, is the Ben Laden family, the suspected terrorist, the Ben Laden family and Ben Laden.
Yeah.
And I just wonder if you had known anything about this company.
All I know is what they plan to do and how it plans to work.
I heard on the Art Bell program the other day by the name of Richard Hoagland.
Okay. Please don't start with me.
No, he mentioned this company, and he said something that kind of...
He also says there's a faith on Mars and a city on Mars, and it's all baloney.
Okay, well... What Hoagland said the other day about Iridium is that the company is not what it appears to be.
Why would you believe what he says about Iridium when he's telling you all these other baloney stuff, lies?
He's kind of interesting, to say the least. I don't know if I believe everything he says, but he's a very interesting fella. But he said that Iridium is not what it appears to be, and it's some sort of a disaster communication system that is being set up. And I'm wondering what sort of disaster might be ahead that they seem to have this need to put this satellite system in place. And have you noticed, Bill, how all these satellites are exploding all over the place? The rockets are exploding?
Well, rocketry has never been something that always works. I mean, you've got unbelievably volatile materials in this tube that if anything goes wrong, it's going to blow up. I don't see anything strange about that.
That the Iridium satellites are getting up very successfully, and they're using Chinese rockets. And maybe that has something to do with the Chinese getting this technology from us that we apparently gave the Chinese?
I think you're reading a lot of things into a lot of things that really shouldn't be read into things. I mean, if you continue in this vein, you're liable to go insane in about 2 months.
All right, well, this mystery stuff that you talk about, the number 666 have any significance in the mystery thing?
Absolutely, yes. Numbers have significance in almost every religion, our occult organization. Sure it does.
Okay, well, Bill, that's what made me wonder what the heck's going on with Iridium. I mean, why?
But wait a minute. It only means anything if it means something to you.
Anything that Iridium is advertising their system as having 66 satellites plus 6 spare satellites. Are they trying to tell us anything?
No.
It's just an accident.
They may be trying to make you paranoid about the coming millennium if you are an extremely religious person and if your reference is the Book of Revelations.
Okay, well, I guess that makes sense.
You see, something doesn't have to be at all if they can make you perceive that it is. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
They can manipulate you just by making you believe that something is true or something is going to affect you or Christ is going to return or the sky is going to fall in. Even though they know it's not, if they can make you believe that it is, they can control a large segment of society with those kinds of beliefs. They're called apocalyptic beliefs or messianic beliefs, that the world is going to end and Jesus Christ is going to appear tomorrow. I'm going to tell you that if that's what everybody is saying and that's what everybody's going to believe, he's not going to be here.
All right, well, I just thought I'd bring it up because...
Yeah, but do you know why I'm saying that?
No.
Because the Bible says that.
Well, the Bible is what...
The Bible says when you think he's coming, he's not going to be here. It says it clear as a bell. He'll come like a thief in the night. And even the elect will be deceived.
Okay, Bill, well, I'll let some other callers get in there, and I'm a happy new listener to your program.
Thank you. Thank you for calling.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Good night. 520-333-4578. You see, folks, if they want to bring about a new world order, and they think that this has been prophesied as having to come about before Christ can return, what a wonderful way to neutralize the entire religious segment of the population who won't resist it, thinking that it has to come to pass. And if you all believe it's coming to pass right now, it's not going to happen, because the Bible says it's not going to happen. If you believe the Bible, you've got to believe that. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill.
Hi.
Walt up in Calgary, Alberta calling.
Hello, Walt.
Yeah, you're making the trip up here real good tonight.
Well, that's great.
I wanted to comment on your last caller's discussion of the number, the 66 satellites on the Iridium system.
Uh-huh.
It takes that many because they're low Earth orbit satellites.
Sure.
And also the biggest backer is Bill Gates, and he's got only one motive I can think of, and that's to make a whole lot of money.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so it's interesting to hear your program, and nice to hear your station on here.
Well, thank you. It's not my station. It's Alan Weiner's station.
Or
his consortium, or whoever owns it. I don't know who owns it, really. They all call him the boss, so I guess he's got the biggest stake.
If that must be. He got a little write-up in Monitoring Times this month.
Yeah, but I think Randy Steele owns part of it, too.
Okay.
She seems to have a little muscle there somewhere.
Uh-huh.
So she's got a stake of it, I'll bet you anything.
Probably so. Good to hear you.
Well, thank you.
We'll be listening to you. Are you going to be on every night?
We're on Monday through Thursday night. I can't do 3 hours every night. I can't even let Doyle do 3 hours every night. I would be dead in 2 weeks.
I hear you.
We need Friday.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Have a great evening.
Thank you for calling. Thanks. We need Friday, Saturday, and Sunday just to recuperate from these 4 days of 3 hour broadcasts. You know, I'm used to doing an hour a night, and that was a hell of a chore, I got to tell you. 520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. This is Gary from Wyoming calling.
Hi, Gary.
Glad to hear you back on the air again.
Well, thank you. Well, you know, everybody says that. We never left the air. We never left the air. You guys just lost us somehow.
That's true, Bill. Wasn't able to locate you on the short way, but I've got you now on there.
Well, good.
I visit your website a lot, but it's better hearing the actual thing on the air.
Well, good.
Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Thanks.
Website's a good place to go if you want documentation and if you want to really get into some real serious research. Our website's the only place to be. And I mean that sincerely. You wouldn't believe what's on that website. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hi, Bill. Glad you're back.
Thank you.
I know, I just heard what you said before. Never mind.
Hi, Chihuahua. Go ahead.
In your Majesty 12 website, you know, the Majesty 12 portion, you had a link there to the Scottish Grand Masonic Temple.
Yeah, they took
took the flag down.
Just exactly that. Well, I said that they would do that as soon as they found out that we had exposed the meaning of what they were doing.
It took a little while to do it, though. I I was surprised it took them that long, about 3 months or so.
Well, it took them that long for one of their members to find our website and find out what I had exposed and remove the United Nations flag as the world flag of Freemasonry.
Did you ever do a screen save on that?
Yeah, we sure did.
Would you make it available
not only,
on your website?
Not only that, but we asked people to go there and take a look at it and send us an affidavit swearing or attesting to what they saw. Did you do that?
Yeah, I thought I saved it, but I can't find it.
No. Did you send us an affidavit like we requested?
No, but I did see the flag on there.
Yeah, but you didn't send us an affidavit. So now how can we prove that it was ever there? Luckily, luckily, some people that I asked to do it did it, so we have plenty of affidavits on file.
Okay. Great. Thanks again.
You're welcome. See? You didn't think they'd take it down, did you? You should have sent us an affidavit like we asked. You know? We don't ask those things just because we knew that they would take that off that website. We knew that. As soon as they found out that we had exposed that the Grand Lodge of Scotland had revealed publicly on their website that the United Nations flag is the universal flag of Freemasonry, that they would take it off. You know what they substituted for it? The world.
Mm-hmm.
They have a spinning world there over the word universal. 520-333-4578 is the number. You know, we do all this work and we expose all these things and it's like right over people's head. They don't understand it. They get lost in it or something. I don't know what's going on. But it goes on. Well, what do you want to talk about now, Doyle? You got anything to talk about? Good evening. You're on the air.
Darn, I can't believe I got through. Mr. Cooper?
Yes, it's me.
Where the heck have you been for the last couple of years? I've been living there. Anyway, glad to hear you're on the air again.
I've been living on the air in Cincinnati.
I'm calling from Auburn, California, mister.
Yeah.
Really missed your broadcast.
Well, we've
been for listening to about a week ago or so, listening to Art Bell, and some fella got on and where you were at, so I've been tuning in 7.415 and hearing real quick, like, Bill, read your book, The Old Fatal Horse, quite some time ago. Really enjoyed it. Do you have an address where I could, do you have a catalog or anything at all where a fella can get any more information from
you? Doyle's been giving it out to you all night long.
Well, I'm having a dickens of time with my little Radio Shack antenna.
Okay, you got a pen?
Go.
Hour of the Time.
Got it.
In care of.
Care of.
101.1 FM. P.O. Box 940. Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R.
Wait a minute, say again.
Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R.
E-A-G-A-R.
Arizona.
Arizona.
85925.
85925. Let me read it back real fast. Hour of the Time, care of 101.1 FM. P.O. Box 940. Eager, E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925.
You got it.
Okay, so you stamp.
Yeah, send a $1.
$1.
And a number 10 sized envelope with 75 cents postage on it.
Number 10?
Yeah, number 10. If you don't know what that is, ask the post office. We're eating up airtime.
Got it. Take good care. God bless.
Thank you.
Bye.
Did you want to say something, Doyle?
Oh, I was just going to ask if there was a reception problem or mainly antenna. She mentioned antenna. He's Auburn. I'm just curious.
Yeah. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill.
You need to talk really loud. Put the phone right in front of your mouth and talk really loud.
Good evening, Bill. Welcome back, old friend.
Thank you.
You know me. I'm in North Carolina, just outside of Charlotte.
The name sounds, I mean, the voice sounds familiar.
I don't want to call my name out on the air, but I want to know if you're still accepting memberships to the intelligence service.
Not right now.
Not right now?
Not right now.
Okay. But it's good to hear your voice back. Your shortwave signal is coming through tremendously.
Well, thank you. That's wonderful.
God bless you and your family and what you're doing. And I'll be there for you.
Okay.
All right, my friend.
Thank you.
Have a good evening.
You too. 520-333-4578 is the number. I can't believe after all that good stuff that you gave out, there's no questions on food storage.
No.
Good evening. You're on the air.
Well, good evening. I'm Terry, and I'm calling you from Kempshaw, Alabama. Picking you up on shortwave. I guess it's band 3.
Yeah, can you talk louder, please?
Yeah, sure. I'm Terry, and I'm calling you from Kempshaw, Alabama.
That's much better.
Yeah, I got you on band 3 on my shortwave here.
Uh-huh.
A little homemade antenna. I wanted to mention something about the 666. I've tried to study masonry through a lot of ancient sources and so on, and that was the sun square, which was just a really mathematical device developed by Greek theoreticians and philosophers. An excellent book on it called Jesus Christ, Son, S-U-N, of God.
Yes.
David Sedeller, which goes into how actually everything that ended up in the New Testament was a copy of Greek concepts from pagan times going way, way back. For example, Orphoi, the earliest name for Orpheus, the god of springtime and so on, and of music, meant the fisher of men. And the idea of a god fishing for men's souls went way, way, way back there in Greek.
Yeah, in fact, there was a society called the Netters.
You're quite right, sir, there was.
Yes, you're absolutely correct.
Yeah, the Egyptians developed some of this numerical fascination, and the Greeks further developed it. But I don't think they ever used it to coordinate an effort to enslave mankind like this modern bunch have done. Now, our modern Masons, our Freemasons, claim to be based upon these ancient Greek and Egyptian antecedents. Do you believe that that's so, or were these folks a fairly recent development, like in the last few hundred years?
No, I think the mystery schools to which they belong have existed throughout the history of humankind. In fact, in my research, I can trace them back to the earliest records that exist. But I think that they have corrupted it to mean something that it doesn't mean in order to promote their particular agenda. Now, the members at the lower levels don't know anything about this. They're just ignorant sheeple who joined for personal gain and for status and recognition in the community, and believe me, you do get that, and you get special favors and contracts, and you win in court when maybe you shouldn't, and all kinds of things. But at the highest levels, it is, and I'm talking about all of these fraternal organizations, at the highest levels, there is one organization which at the lower levels sometimes appear to actually oppose each other. It's one organization called the Illuminati, or the Thousand Points of Light, or the Brotherhood of Man.
Have you ever tried to have Dr. John Coleman, the author of The Committee of 300 and Diplomacy by Deception?
No.
He did an extensive workup on the actual governing bodies behind all of this, how they're manifested today, like the British monarchy and so on.
Well, it's all done by inner circles acting through influence on an outer circle of members, such as the Executive Council and the Council of Foreign Relations.
Actually, the group that's behind the CFR and all of these other bodies, the coordinators, are called the Olympians. That's what they call themselves, according to Coleman.
Well, I don't think he's right about that, and I don't think there's any one group. I think it is a huge worldwide organization of many different groups, all who have attained the highest degrees in their particular branch of the mysteries, and they work through influence and developing consensus, and they are all Fabian socialists working toward a socialist totalitarian one-world government.
A coalition, in other words.
Yes, absolutely.
Cartel.
One thing, I guess, which strikes me as a great contradiction, as an amateur philosopher or historiographer, if you will, is in listening to WWCR and some of these other sources, I mean, where do we get the idea of one world government? Well, it's basically a Christian, Jewish, and Islamic idea. The idea that our religion is right, our way of life is right, everybody else is wrong, everybody else is damned without this particular God or this particular myth or this particular belief system. Therefore, we have not only a duty, but a right to impose this on everyone else. This is not a pagan concept. This is quite different from the Greek theocracies or even the Egyptians, who recognized that mankind was necessarily pluralistic and fragmented.
Well, I think all throughout history there have been men or groups of men who have always tried to force their will or agenda on the rest of the world, and have had actually the goal of conquering the entire world and ruling the world under them. During those days, they had limited knowledge of the total geographic makeup of the world, and so some of them succeeded in their known world in doing that. But you're absolutely correct, and I got to tell you, it's so refreshing to talk to someone who has some knowledge and is intelligent, because that doesn't happen too often. You know, I can't go to cocktail parties anymore because I can't find anybody there to talk to, period.
Well, it seems like what we have here is a real march against pluralism, even this idea of one language, it's Esperanto. All of this seems to be developed from a Semitic origin point. And I'm not one of these people that's just purely anti-Semitic or just says blame the Jews for everything. I think it's much more complex than that.
Well, where it comes from exactly is out of the idea that God chose one race to rule over all the rest, and that they're entitled by divine right to be the kings of the world. The mystery schools are exploiting that today. But most Jews I know don't want any part of it, to tell you the truth. They're not even really Jews. Most of them very seldom go to synagogue, and they're more secular and atheistic.
Your average born-again Christian is far more universalistic as far as meddling in the affairs of others.
Well, if you want to see the real source of all of this, you look to political Zionism, and you will find that it is not a Jewish organization, even though there is a World Jewish Zionist Congress or Zionist organization. Most of the Zionists in the world are Christians. Pat Robertson, Jerry Falwell, George Bush, Billy Carter. These are all, none of these people are Jews. They are all extreme Zionists. And they believe that they are the real Israel. And there is a messianic sect of Jewish people who believe the same thing. And what they practice is really not Christianity, but the concept of British Israelism, so to speak.
Yes.
And these people are dangerous.
They are the guy who put together the whole fundamentalist movement in the 1960s, the identity movement back then.
Yeah, you see, I don't care if they believe all this stuff, but when they try to work it on everybody else and try to say that they're the...
That's the danger of it. If a mass of people, if most Americans feel that they are, in fact, born again, and it is the destiny of the world to be torn up and blown apart, and we have the misfortune of having this enormous arsenal of nuclear, biological, and chemical weapons, then we're a real danger to the rest of the world.
Who do you think started all this stuff? I mean, have you ever looked at the layout of Washington, D.C., the occult significance, the Washington Monument? Do you realize who founded the League of Nations? Who founded and organized and financed and built the United Nations? Who is trying to push the whole world into world government?
Exactly.
It's not Afghanistan. It's
right.
It's Washington, D.C.
You got it. That's exactly what they're planning. You know, I've written a series of articles about this, and I'd like to send you a copy, but I just tonight have found you on the shortwave, a fairly faint signal. What is the name of your show again, please?
The Hour of the Time.
Hour of the Time. And you're Bill Cooper.
Yes.
Well, I'll get it off to you, Bill. Pleasure speaking with you.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure speaking to you.
Have a good evening.
It now, a lot of these people who are trying to work their will on others and actually would love to subjugate all other races and peoples beneath them, at one time started out as being a persecuted religion, and now they want to persecute other people. I don't understand that at all. I mean, it's like the rainbow people were here. We have a valley full of wonderful people. They're Mormons, most of them, not all of them. They're wonderful people, and they belong to the Mormon Church, which was tremendously persecuted because of their beliefs in the 1800s. Well, they had the rainbow people come up here and hold their annual thing in the forest up here. Mm-hmm. And I've noticed that for years they've done this all over the country. They've never caused any problems. They've always cleaned up after themselves. And I saw Hitler rise up here in this valley and persecute those poor people like you wouldn't believe. Now, there's always some hangers-on who will stand out in front of a store and beg for change and stuff like that, and they are notorious for loving to smoke pot and stuff mm-hmm. like that. But I'm of the mind that you don't go and you don't stop someone just because of the way they look. And you don't rip their car apart just because of the way they look. The law says you must have probable cause. This town was turned upside down, and those people were persecuted, and they were persecuted by people who were persecuted for the same things back in the 1800s. I mean, I don't know whether they smoked pot or not, but they were the rainbow people in the 1800s. They didn't learn their lesson. And so now they have some affluence and some wealth, and they are now persecuting other people because they don't like the way they look or the way they believe or something like that. The world is crazy, and until people stop that kind of behavior, there's always going to be persecution and wars and misery and everything else. Good evening. You're on the air.
How we doing there, Bill? This is Will from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Hi, Will.
How you doing?
Just calling to let you know that I really appreciate the show back on this week. Really enjoyed it the past 3 nights.
Well, thank you.
And I always enjoy listening to you. I get a lot out of it. I'm 23 years old, and I've been listening to you for several years now.
Congratulations.
I'm trying to get as much information as possible.
I'm 55, I think. Unless I skip the year somewhere.
That biblical quote that was stated a few callers back regarding Jesus coming like a thief in the night. Revelation chapter 3, verse 3. I just figured I would share that with you in case any caller wanted to look it up.
They're not going to look it up. You know, I don't know better than that. They're not going to look it up. Most so-called people who call themselves Christians, they're adept at pulling things out of context to say something, but they really don't understand what most of it means. And that's pathetic.
I want to throw something out at you here. Several months ago, I came across a book in a out-of-print bookshop. It's entitled Frost. States.
Yeah.
It was printed in 1853.
Uh-huh.
As the United States Constitution is.
Uh-huh.
And in that Constitution, in the Bill of Rights, it had 13 amendments.
Yes. You know what the 13th Amendment is?
In regards to titles and nobility.
Yes. And you know why that they've changed it and nobody knows about it?
That's correct.
Because lawyers, you know about lawyers? Lawyers have the title of Esquire. You know how they get the title of Esquire? It is a title of nobility bestowed through the Bar Association, which is, and this is where the crown comes in, the Crown of England. The Bar Association is an organization of the Crown of England, and the title of nobility of Esquire is bestowed by the Queen.
Very fascinating.
So the lawyers slipped the 13th Amendment out of the Constitution, and nobody even knew that it was gone.
Yeah, I try to show it to professors at school, and they try to shove it aside.
They don't want
to
see it, because then that makes them responsible to do something about it, and they don't want to be responsible. They want to be nice little Marxist instructors and fill the heads of their students with all of the reasons why they should become slaves in the New World Order. Good.
Library book. One other thing, I came across Public Law 204 that was put into effect August 7th, 1953, regarding Ohio's entrance into the Union. I'm not sure, I imagine you're familiar with it.
Go ahead.
The resolution took effect as of March 1st, 1803, but it was approved August 7th, 1953.
Yeah.
That up in the public law there, and it sounded very interesting there that Ohio has been a territory for the past 150 years.
That's right.
It kind of slid one by you there.
There's a lot of things like that that the American people don't know about because they're lost in la-la land. That's all I can tell you. Listen, we're out of time.
Okay, I just want to let you know that I enjoy the show, and I'm hoping to see you before too terribly long because I'll be moving out to
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Have you ever lived in Tucson, Arizona in the summertime?
Yeah, I've heard tales of that.
You know, I never could figure out how people decided to settle in places like Phoenix and Tucson, where it gets 122 degrees in the shade.
Well, I'm going out there with folks, so like I said, I'm going to see a lot of Arizona, and it's a good way to get out of the east and go out west.
Well, don't come up here unless you have prior permission first, because you'll be met by a sentry with a rifle on the road.
Okay. And, I'll keep up to date with your seminars.
Okie doke.
Okay, good talking with you.
Take care.
Thank you.
Good night.
Bye.
You want to say good night?
Good night.
Boo?
Good night.
Doyle?
Good night.
Good night, everybody. And God bless each and every single one of you.